CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a pleasure to welcome Charlie Daggett of CBS News in Kabul to report on these last days of the U.S. military commitment to Afghanistan, to the war fighting for these last 20 years. Charlie, a very good day to you in Afghanistan. Your reporting of this last week included conversations with leaders of the country, Abdullah Abdullah, for example, and Massoud Son. However, the conversation that was most clear to me to understand where we are was with the first vice president, Saleh. He said bluntly the word al-Qaeda when he said they stand shoulder to shoulder with the Taliban. He also said bluntly that withdrawal will lead to great turmoil. Your reporting this week supports all of that. Were you surprised at the first vice president's candor? He was not praising the recent decisions of the U.S. to leave. Good day to you, Charlie.
Hello, John. Yes, I was surprised at how blunt he was. And he continually, throughout our conversation, he said, let me be frank, let me be blunt. And the bottom line for him is that he said, bluntly, it was a mistake for America to negotiate with the Taliban in the first place. He said that the Taliban could not be trusted in any regard. He considers them terrorists. He would not negotiate, and the Afghan government is not negotiating with the Taliban. And we have to make clear that the Afghan government has been largely shut out of any of the agreements that the United States has made with the Taliban. And, you know, in his words, the whole idea of trusting the notion that the Taliban would not be in league with al-Qaeda is a non-starter. It is a generational thing. They are intermarried. Al-Qaeda supports the Taliban. The Taliban supports al-Qaeda. And they are terrorists. And he said it's self-evident what you're seeing on the battlefield now. The moment U.S. troops began the official drawdown a week ago Saturday, the Taliban went on the attack against Afghan forces. They were never going to honor any sort of assurances that they were going to hold fire. And we've seen military aggression across seven provinces across Afghanistan in the past week.
General McMaster, in a lecture I attended online, of course, said that when we arrived in Afghanistan in 2001, it was a city of 500,000 people. Now, today, it's 3.5 million people. He's suggesting, of course, that we're looking at a possible catastrophe. Charlie, you've been to Afghanistan many times. Is there any evidence that the people of Afghanistan are preparing to leave during or after the handover to Afghan forces?
You know, what concerns me, John, and I don't say this lightly, in all of the years that I've come here, I've never known people to be so terrified about the future. And we've seen highs and lows in this country. The reason they're terrified is because, yes, and I'm not just getting this from the general public, the people that I speak to on the street, but from government leaders who would rather not say these sort of things. But they're saying they're worried about people panicking. They're worried if there are offensives in major cities, and which we've already started seeing. We expect to see them in Kandahar. We expect to see them in Helmand, in Ghazni province. But if they start falling like dominoes, people are going to panic. And two real concerns are on the horizon. One is the concern of an all-out civil war. The other concern is a mass, either internally displaced people or a mass refugee crisis of the kind that I myself have witnessed in places like Iraq and Syria. That if there's a tremendous amount of fighting and it spreads to the provinces, people who have the wherewithal, who have the resources, will leave for their own safety. And the people that have the resources now, and I'm talking about the upper levels of society, are already leaving because they can predict the future. The real concern now is that the Taliban, as they've already shown so far, is they're going to try to leverage themselves militarily against the Afghan government. And there are two crises here as I can see it. One is that there's a lack of faith in the Afghan government, a lack of unity. And that's when we spoke to Ahmed Massoud. He said, we have to address that first. We cannot even think about negotiating with the Taliban until we have a united front within the government. And the other concern, of course, is just the idea of a land grab and instability and real loss of life a full war, civil war, continued fighting and an increase in fighting over the next couple of months between the Taliban, Afghan forces, and anybody else who may decide to raise arms against the Taliban.
And another bad actor, within these last hours, you know, the attack in Kabul on a school, boy and girl school. It was during the moment when the girls were exiting the school. They were associated with education, female education in Afghanistan, which was originally a theme back in 2001. I can recall the Bush administration emphasizing the abuse of women. Right now, ISIS is blamed for that attack. In your conversations with Saleh and Abdullah and Massoud's son, all of that, ISIS did not come up exactly. Do you hear it mentioned that these are independent bad actors seeking a civil war within Afghanistan?
Yes, it didn't. ISIS itself did not come up. Well, actually, it did. It didn't feature in my reporting because we tend to think of ISIS. This is how crazy. I don't want to use the word crazy. This is your frame of reference in a country like this that a terrorist group like ISIS takes a backstage to what else is going on. What we have learned is that it's not just ISIS. It's not just the Taliban, but any number of the Islamic extremist organizations that are already operating within Taliban-held areas. And it starts to get very complicated, and I'm going to try to keep it as simplified as possible. In some regions, in some areas, the Taliban certainly does not want any ISIS influence. In other, they are hand in hand. I'll give you a for instance. There are people now, everybody wants to know exactly who's responsible for this attack on the school in Kabul, this horrific attack. I mean, the school bell rang, these kids came out, they hit them right at the, and it was meant to bring the largest cost loss of life as they possibly could. Such a cynical attack, specifically trying to kill young children on their way out of school. This wasn't, you know, symbolic. It wasn't bombing a school. It was killing children. The ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan is active. It's in the northeast province in Nangarhar. I've been there myself. I've seen U.S. forces working against ISIS. So they may be small in number, but they're large in influence, and they have been shown to be capable of attacking civilians, largely Shia Muslims, in these Shia Muslim neighborhoods in Kabul. And we've seen that ourselves, whether it be a demonstration, whether it be a school, whether it be hospitals, soft targets. However, the Haqqani network, which is the Taliban network here in Kabul and on the outside of Kabul, is suspected of working hand in hand with ISIS militants when it comes to these sort of spectacular attacks. So this morning when you speak to Afghans who have been studying this because it's their lives, I say, well, obviously this is the ISIS MO, hitting a school, young girls, proving a point, also saying we are here too. And then I was corrected. They said, well, you know, the Haqqani network is active within Kabul itself, and it may not even be possible for ISIS to stage a spectacular attack like that without the Haqqani network either helping or knowing about it. So these are the weird shifting loyalties within Afghanistan, especially in the Kabul area. But ISIS, yes, you know, we shouldn't forget that within the lawlessness in the societies here where we have Islamic extremism, ISIS is still, while small in number, they do have influence that punches far above their weight when it comes to these spectacular attacks. And it's just tragic.
Charlie Daggett of CBS News is in Kabul. These are the last days, we're told, of American military commitment on the ground in Afghanistan. That does not include air power. In fact, B-52s have been mentioned, nor does it include the possible deployment of U.S. Rangers to protect American troops as they withdraw. But in any event, al-Qaeda is mentioned by the first vice president. ISIS is on the scene. The Haqqani network, with its links to both ISIS and al-Qaeda and the Pakistan Taliban. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.